That is our prayer, Lord. That in our midst, God, you would be lifted up. That every eye would see you. Lord, and as you are lifted up, Lord, may you draw all men and women to yourself. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. God is good. God is good. He's good to us. It's such a privilege to be able to share the word with you again this morning. And I'm going to be sharing my final kind of session or final word from John chapter 4. We've been standing still for the last 2 months in one chapter of John. And it's such a beautiful and rich chapter, John chapter 4. And I'm just wanting to recap for some of us that may have missed that. I often say recap or feedback is the breakfast of champions. So let's have our breakfast quickly. Juan, if you can. We had a message there called What's in Your Well on the 30th of September. And I spoke about the first few verses of John chapter 4. And we spoke about the setting of this well where Jesus and his disciples had come to the town of Sychar, and they were tired and they were thirsty, and his disciples had gone into the town, into the Samaritan town, to buy food. And Jesus was weary and he was tired, and he alone sat there at the well, and there was another woman there, a Samaritan woman. And then we kind of reflected on a whole bunch of things. And if we go to that next slide, we spoke about the fact that Jesus was comfortable with the uncomfortable conversations. And immediately we saw in John chapter 4, she was uncomfortable and said, "Why are you talking to me?" We spent quite a bit of time reflecting on this strange conversation that took place between the Jew and the Samaritan. And then Jesus basically asks her for a drink, and she says, "Why are you asking me for a drink?" And Jesus responds by saying, "If you knew who I was, you would have asked me for a drink." And we reflected on the teaching of the Holy Spirit. And basically what he was saying, the water that I will give you will become in you something. If you drink from the water that I give you, if you drink from this Holy Spirit water versus Jacob's well's water, something's going to happen to you. It's a dynamic water. It's like a fountain that just keeps on going. We were last weekend, we went on Friday night to Citrus Dull, to a place called The Baths. Has anyone been to The Baths? It's highly recommended. There's lots of warm water coming out of the mountain. Then they decided to make a resort and make a lot of money from the hot water on their farm. And it's a fantastic resort, but the water that comes out of that rock is so hot. It's 47 degrees. And it's actually, they got this massive big pool, and then they got kind of a smaller pool, or a colder pool. So the one is like extremely hot, and my whole family was actually uncomfortable in the hot pool. So we were kind of between the hot and the cold. So we were never quite in one pool. We were running between, because then you get into hot, then you get into cold, then you get into hot. So you actually get fit on a weekend like that if you go to the baths. So you're in between the hot and the cold pool. But the amazing thing is there's this source of water that just keeps on coming. And year after year, this water just comes out of the mountain. And it's just self-sustaining. It's a little bit like the source that's up here in the mountain. But Jesus is saying, this water that I'm giving you is a little bit like the baths. Water, it's dynamic. It just keeps on coming. And sometimes it's a bit stronger and sometimes it's a bit hotter. But it's alive and it's dynamic. And so once you drink this water, something will happen to you versus the still stagnant water. And so Christ is saying, drink the water that I have given you. And I asked you the question, what's in your well? And we reflected on what's in your well. Did we say, if you've drunk the water of the Holy Spirit, are you going to have living water? Are you going to have bitter water? Are you going to have salty water? We spoke about the fruit of the Spirit. Is the fruit of the Spirit manifesting in your life? Is the fruit of the Spirit manifesting out of your mouth? And then we said, what does that fruit look like? Lastly, I asked you, is your well blocked? And we said, blocking happens by two things. Sin in your own life. And number two, when you get attacked by the evil one, where he actually comes and he tries to block your well. That was the first message. The second message, John, if you can go to that next slide, we spoke about the second part of the story in John chapter 4, which was this thing around the worship battles. And so Jesus is speaking to her about wells and water and buckets, and he sees she's not getting it. He's speaking about living water. She just keeps on referring to the well's water, and eventually he says, go and call your husband. And upon that revelation, they start speaking about worship. And the lady actually brings up the topic of worship, if you remember that. And that's where we kind of ended off, and I asked you the question, do you know what it means to worship in spirit and truth? And we spend quite a bit of time reflecting on the spirit and truth, worship, teaching. And then I said that in this time that we're going ahead, we will actually use praise and we will use worship in battling for God, in our intercession, in getting through to the things that God wants us to do. And this is kind of where we left it off after two sermons, and this is where I'm wanting to pick up this morning. So, Juan, if we can go to that next slide. Skies. Veruska, dis jy achter die, dis jy stier van sake daar achter. So, John chapter 4, so we left there, and we left in John chapter 4, verse 24, says, God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth. A woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. Then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, am he. Verse 27 there. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want? Why are you talking with her? Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way to him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? My food, Jesus said, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Veruska, just go to that first slide. Sorry, three up again. I just want to reflect on those scriptures quickly. Ek gaan net boontoe gaan. Ja, enetjie af. Nee, nou is ons reg aan die begin. So ek wil net daai gedeeltetjie in Johannes daar lees. Daar's hy. John chapter 4. So, we spent enough time on the whole spirit and truth worship teaching, but what happens after Jesus reveals to this lady what spirit and truth worship is? She makes a statement as a Samaritan. She says, I know that the Messiah is coming. And when he comes, he will explain everything to us. Now, this is very interesting. Here you have a Samaritan who I said last time believes differently to the Jews. Remember, they only believed in the first 5 books of the Bible, not in the prophets. Their Bible at the time of Jesus was the Pentateuch, the first 5 books plus the prophets. But these Samaritans only believed in the first 5 books of the Bible, but yet they believed in a Messiah, but they weren't expecting Jesus. They weren't expecting the Christ. In fact, if you go and read up, they were expecting a type of a Moses. They were expecting a man like Moses to come back and reveal things to them. And so there was this expectation that somebody is coming. There is this special person that's coming, this Moses type figure. And the Hebrew word is the Taheb. They called him the Taheb. The Taheb is coming. So she's saying, I know that the Taheb, the Messiah, is coming. And when he comes, he's going to explain everything to us. And don't miss this. Here's this moment of revelation. Jesus, I, the one speaking to you, am he. This is where this whole story boils down to. They have this long conversation about water and different types of water and about the Holy Spirit and about worship and about her family and about her family history. And everything boils down to this moment where she says, you know what? There's somebody coming and he's special and he's going to tell us amazing things. Jesus says, it's me. The one you're waiting for. Here it is. I'm here. And this is where this whole story hinges on the revelation of the true Christ and the revelation of the Messiah. And her response is there, verse 27. And as he reveals himself, we kind of have this scene change, you know, like in a movie, and cut. Scene 3, disciples come, you must come onto the stage. Disciples arrive back from the town, they've got the food. Jesus is done talking to the woman. Just then, as Jesus reveals himself to the Christ, as the Christ, we have a new scene. And the disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. Remember what we spoke about last time. Jewish culture, men don't really
speak much to women in public, let alone to a woman alone in public, let alone to a Samaritan woman. So very, very kind of awkward situation, and you can see their response. But no one asked, what do you want, or why are you talking with her? So everybody knows, that, you know, it's like an elephant in the room. Everybody knows, uh-oh, what's Jesus doing with a woman? Why is Jesus talking to a woman alone at the well? Why is Jesus talking to a Samaritan woman alone at the well? This is not good. This is not good for our PR, Jesus. This is not good for your ministry. What are you doing? That's what they're all thinking. Wat maak hy? What is he doing? This is dangerous. This is not how Jewish men behave. But no one asked. Niemand vra nie. Niemand vra die ongemaklike vra nie. Why are you talking with her? And we see her response, then leaving her water jar. That's why she came to the well. That was the original purpose, to come draw water. But something happened. She got some other water. She doesn't even need the natural clay jar anymore. She got something else. And she needs to tell somebody about it. She runs back to her town. Now remember, the reputation of this lady, from what we pick up from the scriptures, is not that great. But yet when this lady runs into the town and she says, come see a man who's told me everything I ever did. I don't know why, but they believed her. And so this town starts making its way, you know, kind of up the hill through the fields to where Jacob's well is. Leaving a water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? So she's asking the question that is on everybody's lips. The stuff that they talk about around the campfire. Ek wonder wanneer gaan hy kom. Hoe gaan hy lyk? What will he say to us? What will he teach us? Will he be like Moses? There's this expectation that somebody's come. And so she runs back to the town. She says, you need to meet this guy. He's incredible. I'm not sure if it's a soothsayer or a hypnotist or a, I don't know what, but he's done amazing things. Come meet this man that I met at the well. Could he be the Messiah? He told me he's the Messiah. And they came out of the town and made their way toward him. Okay, so here's this town of people. Imagine Franschhoek kind of going up the pass here to the top where the well is there against the mountain. And we're going to meet somebody because the lady told us, you need to meet this guy. He's incredible. Next slide. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. That's why they went into town. This is kind of scene four. We went and got you something. That's why they left Jesus. They've been walking since 6 o'clock this morning. It's lunchtime. They're hungry. They're thirsty. They went to go and get food and bring it back to Jesus. And they're saying to him, teacher, please eat something. His response is, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? And so this is beautiful about what you find in John. Like I said to you, many times in the Gospel of John, his classic way of writing his gospel is through misunderstanding. That's how he often brings. John is he writes his gospel in a way that there's actually a lot of irony and a lot of humor in the way that John portrays stories. And this is one of those stories. I mean, we've just seen it for 20 verses. Jesus talking about heavenly water, the woman talking about natural water, just completely missing each other. Here they're talking about natural food and he's talking about heavenly food. It's the way John communicated a lot of his truths. It's so beautiful. And they sang, maar wie het vir hom kos gebring? You know, who fed Jesus? He doesn't seem to be hungry. He's saying, guys, I've got different food. I've got different food. I'm eating something. My food, that Greek word is brosos. My meat, my food is different. My food, what fills me, what my tank full mark, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. In opposition to what I would imagine be grumbling stomachs, tired people needing natural sustenance. Jesus saying, you know what? I'm eating something different. Just like I told this woman to drink something different, I'm eating something right now. I have fed. And in a sense, I'm satisfied because I'm doing the will of the Father. What is the will of the Father? We're going to get to that in a second. He's saying, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. He's saying, my food is to do the Father's work. What was the Father's work? The Father's work, Jesus. God so loved the world that he sent his Son, that whoever believes in him would not die but have eternal life. That was his job. He was sent. You know, I speak about mission often. We think we're the first people to do mission. We think us humans, we're smart. We go on missions. God is the original mission sender. God is the original person that thought up mission. The word is missio Dei, the mission of God. The mission of God was that he sent his Son. And because Jesus was sent and returned and sent the Holy Spirit, in many ways we are sent because we have the Holy Spirit. And so if you think that missions is not for you, I've got news for you. Missions is for all of us. Because God is the one who owns mission. He sent his Son. We're going to be speaking about that quite a bit next year. And Jesus is saying, my food is to do the will of him who sent me, finish his work. And then he says, don't you have a saying? It's still 4 months until harvest. Now when you read up about this, it was a Jewish proverb, okay? It's like we have Afrikaans proverbs like die appel val nie ver van die boom nie. The kid is like the father. Of van die os op die jas. You know, when you're in a conversation, van die os op die jas, and you change the conversation. This is exactly what's going on. This is one of their proverbs. And the proverbs is, it actually, if you read it in a different translation, it says, 4 months till harvest. And Jesus is saying, don't you say it's still 4 months to harvest, meaning daar's nog bietjie tyd oor. Okay? There's a little bit of time over, and then it's harvest time. So he's saying, we at this point in time, then there's an interval, and then it's harvest time. And if you read a little bit further about this, he's saying, I'm telling you, there's no more interval. Because the sower and the reaper, they're kind of working together now. And he's saying, lift up your eyes, the harvest is actually here right now. It's not 4 months anymore. And so Jesus is communicating kind of an urgency. And he's saying, guys, it's not 4 months until harvest. Open your eyes, I tell you, and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. And if you read all the good commentators around this, as he's teaching him this, the people are coming, walking towards Jesus. And he's saying, look, the Samaritans are coming. Open your eyes. Look at the harvest. And so what I'm wanting us to reflect on this morning as I share with you is, what is the Lord saying to us as a church? If you had to walk in here this morning and say, open your eyes, I want you to see something. I believe he would come in here and the urgency of the harvest would be on his heart. Amen. I got one amen. I'll say that again. The urgency of the harvest will be on his heart. And hopefully, it will translate to our hearts as well. I really believe if Jesus had to come in here, he'd say, guys, open your eyes. Look around. Look into this valley. You think there's still time. And perhaps there is a bit of time. He's saying, I'm saying to you, the harvest is ripe. The harvest is ripe. Now is the time. So Jesus went about with a certain amount of urgency and he said, it's time. It's time to go into the harvest fields. And so with that in mind, I'm wanting to share just for 5 or 10 minutes what I believe the Lord is laying, he's laid on my heart, and I've shared this with the leaders on Monday night and got their input and got their take on this. What I'm wanting to share with you is just what I feel the Lord is wanting from us as a church next year in 2019. So seeking his will. We just read about Jesus doing the will of the Father. And of course, that means to preach the gospel. That means to make disciples. But what specifically would I believe he have on our plate for next year? And there were a lot of things that we focused on in 2018. We focused on the services. We focused on small groups. We focused on intercession. And all those things are, of course, still valid. But there are a few things that I feel the Lord is wanting us to to focus on for next year. And the first one is what I call empowered for ministry. I believe the Lord wants to release the gifts and the power of His Holy Spirit in our meetings, in our church services. And I believe church is going to look slightly differently in 2019. This mic is going to be in a lot more of your hands. Because I believe that as we are sitting here, you are blessed with gifts. You are blessed with gifts, not just for yourselves. You are blessed with gifts for the body. And those gifts need to come to the fore. Those gifts need to operate. There's no point in having a gift and putting it under a bucket. Those gifts are meant for the blessing and the edification of the body. So next year, a lot of you are going to be doing a lot more talking. Our services are going to become, in a sense, I think, quite a lot more informal. Where if somebody has a word, you can come to the front, you can tell Jolene, so I've got a word. And I'm probably going to be preaching a whole lot less next year. I'm going to be preaching a lot shorter because I'm really wanting us to trust for the Holy Spirit to move in our midst and to speak to us through the different gifts, through the apostles, through the prophets, through the teachers, through the evangelists. Those are all gifts that you've been given. Prophecy, words of knowledge. So we're going to be spending quite a lot of time, about 2 or 3 months, on the gifts of the Holy Spirit next year. And what those look like. And we're going to get really practical and we're going to find out what's your specific gifts. I don't know about you, but that excites me. Just going on a journey, finding out what my gifts are and how I can bless the body with it. So that's a big focus for us. And then out of John chapter 4 and Jesus saying the harvest is white and the harvest is ready to go into, mission is going to be a big thing for us next year. I remember sharing with the leaders last year and I shared my 6 points with him, and Marielle Mojas' wife kind of put up her hand at the end and said, but what about missions? And I said, you know what, Marielle, I know it sounds crazy, but we'll get there. We'll get there at some time, and we're getting there in 2019. Next year, we're going to go on a family mission. I'm going to share with you about that in a second, but next year, we're going to start this journey of going on a mission together. I'm going to share about the Shofar ministry, the Shofar Frantic Mercy ministry in a second. Relationship building is something else he's spoken to us about. And then the Sunday youth session launch. I'll be another 5 minutes or so. So just hang in there with me. Let's go to our first one there. Empowered for gifts. I think this image just conveys of us just praying for each other, even like this morning, just trusting the Holy Spirit to give words for each other. Next one there, Varushka. Another one, thank you. There we go. Prince Albert Family Mission. Okay, so this is one idea, okay? So we thought, now, where can we go and be a blessing as a group or as a church family? And we spoke, and there's this pastor in Prince Albert, and he's a shofar pastor, and the church is a relatively small church. And I called him up and I said, the Lord's put this on my heart. What do you say? Do you think we can come up to you? And he's like, please, man, just come up here and bless us. And so next year in May, we're going to go on a family mission over a weekend to Prince Albert. And we're going to be ministering to a lot of people there, mostly a lot of broken people, a lot of people that are struggling with drug addiction and that are just battling socioeconomically. And we're going to take Moja in there with all his youth experience. And we're going to do a youth night for them with big speakers and lights and boom, boom, boom. And we're going to get the youth of Prince Albert into a hall. And we're going to preach the gospel. And those that are not saved are going to get saved. Moja standing at the back. And Devin. And I'm very excited about that. We're going to do training with them. We're going to do worship training. We're going to be doing the encounters with them. We're going to be building up the church there and just ministering to as many people as we can, because the harvest is ripe in Prince Albert. I can tell you that. And you know, when Jesus sent the disciples and when the Holy Spirit came, He sent them to their Jerusalem, to their Judea, Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. Which means they kind of started locally, then kind of moved out regionally, then provincially, and then nationally into the world. And in a sense, we're doing that. And next year, we're going to be doing a local mission here again. We're going to be having all our outreach services. But I feel the Lord is saying, Shofar Franschhoek, get in a bus and go somewhere. Come preach the gospel. Go on a mission. Unfortunately, we as a church, we've lost our mission culture. We've lost our mission culture. We don't go on missions anymore. But next year, we're changing that. So I want to encourage you. We've tried to do it in a family setting because I know we're a family church and we're a nice mixed bunch. We're like a lekker stir fry. There's everything here. We're like old people, young people, kids. You know, it's a wonderful mix that we've got going here. And we're gonna all go. As many of us can go. We're going to get in our cars, get in buses, and we're going to go and bless people that don't live in Franschhoek. And there's just something about going. There's something about going that's powerful. There's something going that's prophetic. And you know what? God expects it of us. He expects us to go. He expects us to preach it in Franschhoek, but He actually expects us to go eventually till the ends of the earth. And if you remember when Johnny, the founder of this church, his final message was, missions, go. He toiled here for 30, 40 years. His final message to us, his parting message is, don't forget missions. Don't forget to go. And so 2019 is going to be a year of going. Okay. You excited about that? Yes. Yes. Next one. Okay. Shofar Franschhoek Mercy Ministry. You will notice this is a blank slide because I don't know what to put up there. And this is one of our big focused areas for 2019. And just as we went on a journey with our transition from the Kibwe house to Richard and Jackson, living with the Funamadva family and being looked after by them, in many ways we've been doing amazing work here in Franschhoek. David and his team of volunteers, they've been doing incredible work at Pro Chorus. But in many ways, there's been a season change. And so the season change is a call to us as Shofar Franschhoek to get involved, because it can't just be David and Moja and me that are ministering to people that are down and out, that don't have clothes, that don't have food. That model is not sustainable. The model that God, that I believe that is on God's heart, is when we start taking hands and we all get involved in helping those that need help. Amen? And so we're going to go on a journey, and that's why I said, I don't know. I've given God a blank canvas, like we did with the boys. We didn't have a solution. It was 2 weeks to go, and they would have been back in the system, and we said, God, help us. What must we do? And we fasted, and we prayed, and we waited on God, and He spoke. And since He's spoken, we've moved, and He's blessed us. And I really believe, in many ways, we as a church, and I'm going to be spending quite a few sermons on us trying to get this right, because there's a lot of work that needs to be done. All I can tell you is the journey is starting next year. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know how we're going to end up. But all I know is that next year, a whole lot more of us are going to be reaching out to a lot of people that are broken and poor and that need our help. So, amen. I'm very excited about that. There we go. Family camp. Who's in for a family camp? No, let me try that again. Who's in for a family camp? Oh, okay. So, we're not having a family camp for the sake of having a family camp. Your diaries are way too busy for just doing things. Family camp is about bonding. You know, church is about relationship. Without relationship, yeah, man, we could all sit in our TV and Skype in and or watch something on DSTV or on our phones. But you know, God designed church, the ecclesia is the coming together of His body so that we can bless each other, so we can have fellowship, so we can prophesy of each other, we can pray for each other like this morning. So I don't mind if you now and again, you know, watch a TV sermon or something like that. That's fine, that's amazing. But you know what? The way that God intended for it to be is when we come together. God is a God of relationship. That's why we have the Trinity, beautiful relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God is into relationships. So all this is a relationship facilitation exercise. And so this is going to be wonderful. Those that are so uncomfortable with prying and being in a tent, you're going to be totally out of your comfort zones, and we'll pray for you and everything like that. You're going to be totally fine. Everybody, you're going to be all right. You'll survive two nights in a tent. Those that have never been in tent, we'll take peaceful sleep and everything. You'll be all right. I promise you, you'll be all right. And people like Stefan and Carl, they'll braai all the meat And Taste. Taste is our master briar in church, I've come to discover. So we're going to be having a lot of fun from the 1st to the 3rd of March. And there's this really cool campsite that we went to go scout out for you. It's in Montague. And there's hot water in the pools. Okay? So ladies, you can't use the excuse, maar die water is te koud. Okay? We're all going to go. Ons gaan lekker braai. Ons gaan lekker swem. Ons gaan lekker kuier. And on the Sunday morning, they've got a lovely little church venue there, or little hall, and we're going to have church together on the Sunday morning. So, you would have seen a tent in our garden. There's not a tent every Sunday, for those of you that missed it. This week, there's a tent, and that's our promotion for this camp, okay? So, what needs to happen is there are lists at the gazebo over there. There's three lists, okay? Because this campsite fills up very quickly. I spoke to the lady yesterday. They can only hold those spots for us for the next 2 weeks. So you don't need to pay now or anything, but you need to get your name on the list, okay? So go put your name on the list. If you don't have a tent, don't worry. We'll organize you a tent, okay? If finances is a problem, come speak to us. We'll make a plan. We want everybody to be there. As many people that can be at this camp, it's going to be incredible. We're going to just have such an amazing time with each other and in God's presence. So sign up at the back. It's going to be amazing. Second last slide. I'm very excited about this. So what's happening is, it was John Pierre's idea that we start a kids' church on that side. I didn't even think about it, but he had the brilliant idea. And I can't even believe where we would have been if he hadn't made that suggestion, okay? Because the kids' church is literally exploding there at the back. It grew by 25% this year. And so what's happening is, all these kids are coming through now. But as you know, kids don't stay the same age. So in 2 or 3 years' time, we're going to have this mushrooming youth. So we're starting to think ahead. And we don't have a youth slot yet. We're just running this incredible youth service on a Thursday night. But what's going to happen from next year, we're going to start off small. But from next year, we're going to have a youth session up here. So the youth from 12 to 18 will join our worship here in the morning. Okay? When they get going and they're big enough, they'll have their own band, but right up until now, they'll have to be with the old people in here and sing with us. And then Morja's going to take them out to the back, and Morja's going to have some facilitators with him that are going to help him, and they're going to do like a cool coffee vibe, coffee shop setting over there, and they're going to talk about youth stuff I don't know anything about. And luckily, that's why Moja is here, because he knows all about that world. It's a whole different, scary world that I'm going to get exposed to in a few years' time. But he's going to be running like a separate youth session for them up there, and it's going to be really applicable to the stuff that they're struggling with, you know. That's going to be very, very powerful. So that's starting next year. So tell your friends they can come to the youth service from next year. And I think that is it. Veruska, is that clear? Okay, that is what I wanted to share with you. So let's stand this morning. And what I'm going to do is, we're just going to pray together. And in many ways, we're just going to commit our plans and our thoughts for 2019 to the Lord. And ask Him to lead us, ask Him to guide us. So Father, thank You. Thank You for this morning, God. Thank You that we can celebrate and honor You in this moment, God. Thank You for Your faithfulness this year, God. Thank You for carrying us this year, God. Thank You that as even many of us stand yet tired and a little bit battered from the challenges and the storms of this year, Father, thank You that we can look behind us and over our shoulders and look back at 2018 and declare You have been faithful, God. You have been good. Your mercy has endured and carried us this year, God. So we honor You, Father, and we bless You as the One who carries us, whose mercy and whose love and whose faithfulness endures forever. Thank You, God, that we can just as a family, as a church family, just go from this place and celebrate all of this, God. Celebrate the baptisms. Celebrate 2018. Oh, we bless you, God. We bless you with everything in us, Lord. We say, bless the Lord, O our souls, and all that is within us. Bless His holy name. God, we thank you that you've spoken to us about next year. Thank you that you are faithful to lead us on. That you are the God of yesterday and today and tomorrow, God. Thank you for all that which you have laid up for us. All that you have in store for us for next year. Thank you that you've already been speaking to us, God. We commit all these areas and those that you will be adding for next year. We commit them to you this morning, Father. God, we give them into your hands, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would breathe on them. God, we declare that unless you lead us from this place by your Spirit, Lord, we cannot go up from here, Lord. So lead us up from this place. Lead us into 2019. Lead us through these holidays, God. And bless every area, God, that's on our hearts, Lord. Make us a missional church. Make us a Spirit-empowered church. Holy Spirit, as I've prayed, you are welcome in our midst. Manifest yourself through your children here. Our ears and our eyes are open to your agenda. Lead us, Holy Spirit. God, we pray that you bless all those other areas, Lord, our relationship, our bonding, Father God, our missions, our youth services. God, our efforts and our need, Lord, to be relevant in this community. God, all those things that need burning attention from us, Lord. God, we don't just want to rush out in the flesh here, God. And so we wait on you to steer us. We wait on you to lead us. Take us by the hand, Lord, and lead us from this place. Lead us into 2019, Lord, I pray. I pray your blessing over every person here, God. Thank you for your protection over them this year. We thank you for Craig, Lord, that survived, Lord, that operation, God. There's so many testimonies of you delivering us, Lord. Your faithfulness, Lord, of snatching us, Lord, from death, Lord. We praise you for that, Father God. Thank you for every person, Lord, that you have kept this year, Father. We give you thankfulness and praise this morning, Lord. Bless us, Lord, now as we eat together, as we fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for the communion of your saints, Lord, and for your Holy Spirit that's in our midst. Bless us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, guys, this is how it works. There's buravos rolls. There's drinks. There's a jungle gym. Not for the parents, but for the kids. A jumping castle. Remember to sign up for the family camp and enjoy the fellowship together.